MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
I'm Emma Grede, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grede, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grede, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
8:02 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn joining us right now. Courtesy of FilmStudyBaltimore.com, he is Ken McCusick. What's going on with you, Ken?
Life's good, Rob. How about you?
I can't complain. Life's good as well. DeAndre Hopkins signed the one-year deal, $5 million flat rate that we know. He has some incentives in there. We can make a little bit more. At this point of his career, Ken, how much better does he really make that wide receiver room?
I don't think he's the kind of guy who displaces either Flowers or Bateman. So I think he's a supplement to what's already there. The Ravens have shown that they've used a few less wide receiver snaps than most other teams, all other teams in the NFL in the last few years. All the Roman era, but even Monken has retained some of that DNA and kept the Ravens as the heaviest organization. Hopkins did not have a bad year last year, but I think he's a guy who will be just some additional help. Fortunately, the price is right this time around.
This is a guy that actually had zero drops, Hopkins, in seasons. I mean, does he do anything for a young receiver room? I mean, he's got kind of a senior statesman coming into this room.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really important position for him. And I think the most important thing Hopkins can do isn't in terms of teaching other kids to use the jugs gun, which I would love.
Yeah.
But it's in enthusiasm for the run game. Run blocking, and if he would be the ambassador for that, I would love it. I mean, that would be enough right there in terms of what they get from Ravens. Have had really good wide receiver blocking. Wallace in particular is fantastic, and Hopkins was really good early in his career. That hasn't been the case in the last few years.
Talk to me about Rosengarten. What are expectations? I know a lot of people when they talk about weaknesses of this team, sometimes they'll look at the interior of the line. What are your expectations for him this year?
I want him to basically consolidate some of the scoring I frankly had for him this last year, because I think it was largely help driven. He had a lot of right side set and chip blocks from tight eligible ends. Receivers.
Yeah.
And so I think that hopefully he can do more on his own this year. And I think he should. He should show a natural progression. I think from where he's starting, outstanding position relative to some of the other left tackles in the draft. The only guy who was really any better was Joe Alt. And he's drafted, number 5 overall by the Chargers.
Ken McCusick, FilmStudyBaltimore.com. Ken, we know we're a week away from rookies reporting the training camp. What jumps off the page for you that's significant or unique about this year's training camp before we begin?
The Ravens are in a very good spot roster-wise from where they've been typically. They really need to confirm that Malachi Starks is ready for the full-time role that they expect him to have. I mean, he's probably their most important rookie. Mike Green is a very close second in terms of what he'll bring to the pass rush. There's not room for a veteran pass rusher on this team as the roster is currently constituted. So they need to get more out of him and Adisa Isaac than they got out of Isaac last year.
A couple of guys who came back looked good. We were standing next to each other when we saw them. I mean, Trent Simpson, Travis Jones in particular, I guess we start with Simpson. I mean, what change you see in him? What do you expect from this year?
Yeah, most of the change I've seen is physical so far. And that's not where Trenton Simpson's big problem has been. His problem has been knowing where to be on a football field. And that means he's, even though despite the safety background he hasn't really been a good guy who could drop to coverage appropriately. And it really shows up in a season where you have some weak safety play like the Ravens did for the first 10 weeks before they made their changes last year. So hopefully Simpson has picked up elements of that game that will allow either him or Roquan to be used in coverage. We can't afford to really have a Patrick Queen type linebacker on the field who is very limited in terms of what he can do coverage wise. That forces Roquan into doing the thing that he's not good at. So I much prefer to see Simpson, at least know where to be on a football field.
And Ken, I'm sure the other guys know, but like you and I chat quite a bit on social media, going back and forth. A lot of times it's about TV shows. We're both math guys, maybe in different aspects of it, I believe, looking at percentages. We were texting yesterday about the new Big Beautiful Bill and what it's going to do to gamblers. What are your thoughts on how that affects them? And you said it could even affect the football teams, right?
Yes. So
the salary cap?
I have a pod that's coming out about this today, by the way. I'll plug that. That's on there. As constituted, the Big Beautiful Bill includes an unenforceable, in my opinion, law on gambling that basically says 100% of your
winnings,
your winnings are taxed and 90% of your losses are deductible. Now, the first question is, at what level? Is that every hand of blackjack I need to record and I need to, you know, say, wait, is it every session?
Is it every 90%? So that's where the 10% comes in, that you're going to pay 10% taxes on whatever you win.
So let's say you have your typical high handle advantage player in gambling, but you don't even have to be an advantage player. You could be just a break even player. Mm-hmm. And you bet $1 million in a year, which, by the way, is not at all unreasonable for if you're your total handle. You see, you win 500,000 in bets. And you lose 500,000 in bets, and you had a break-even year. That's at least something. But you end up with a $50,000 tax liability, the way that the current law is written. The IRS. I mean, I can't even imagine what it'd be like to work at the IRS and have to think about enforcing a law like that. It doesn't make any sense. So there is an effort to try and stop that. It's the kind of thing that I think, if I had to guess why it went in there, it was like a way to generate a billion in projected. Tax revenue that they know they're not going to be able to collect, and so they can back out after the fact, but it was used to get the bill passed. I just don't see how it can be enforced that way.
Kim McKusick, filmstudybaltimore.com, joins us.
And I mentioned Travis Jones with Trenton Simpson. He looks like Mr. Olympia right now.
With Jones?
He looked ridiculous.
Yeah. Massive.
I mean, just massive. Huge upper body. His arms ridiculous. He just... What about him? Because he provides a lot that people I don't think see, because he's interior, puts pressure up, drags double teams. Like, what are you looking for in him?
He's the most important guy for the Ravens to extend right now. The most important. And people, I actually was talking to Mink about this at practice, and he said, it's sacrilege that you would have that take that over Tyler Linderbaum, that he's more important to sign right now. Because both of them, it's kind of now or never. They're both going to be free agents at the end of the year, and they'll probably be both attracted away with fairly big money. But Travis Jones completely drives the Ravens' pass rush. And he's that rare defensive tackle who's so impactful that he's always on the field on third down. Most of the time, Haloti Ngata played a lot less third downs than Travis Jones did. So this is an important player for them to sign for the future. He's Matabike's running mate in terms of all of the stunts and twists and games they play on the inside, and the fact that he gets single teams for the other three players.
Yeah. Ken, tell us about Film Study Baltimore.
Thanks. We have a bunch of things going on this week. We have the continuation of the expectation series, and like I said, this new tax bill, there'll be a podcast out on that today.
Thank you very much. Commissioners, Baltimore at 8:30, but on the other side, we're talking NBA. The Knicks said they brought in a guy who has a championship pedigree. But did they? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBnetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
I'm Emma Grade, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Knicks officially hired Mike Brown yesterday, with the team saying he brings a championship pedigree to the franchise. Ed Norris, does he?
I think he's a qualified coach, but I was expecting a little more impact, a bigger name, you know. I can't deny his background. I mean, I think he's a good coach.
Yeah.
He's got experience. He's certainly qualified for the job, but it's the New York Knicks. They came so close. I was expecting a bigger name. I guess that's what, you know, when you...
Well, you may have the bigger coaches thinking, man, they fired that guy after going to the NBA Eastern Conference Finals.
Or you tip your hand and you decide coaches that you may want to interview, and then the team says no because you didn't plan this properly, which was like, they looked so foolish.
But it's almost like, you know what? We got rid of our wife. I like your wife. Can I have your wife? And they're like, no, you can't interview our guy.
Right.
Which makes sense. Like, why would that be your plan? Like, our number one guy is to try to get it from another team who likes him.
Right.
He played for them. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Here's the deal. If 15, 20 years ago you would have signed Robert Horry because you said Robert Horry has a championship pedigree, you're right. But the issue, Jeremy, is Robert Horry wasn't the leading man on either one of those championship teams. So you don't bring him in to be your leading man.
Yeah.
You bring him in to show the younger guys and other people how to get there. He's not the guy. That's the same thing with Mike Brown. Mike Brown does bring in a championship pedigree. He wasn't the leading man on that. So it's hard for you to sell me that he's supposed to lead the way all these people when he's never led the way there before. If you're starting over... throw out a team. If you're the Chicago Bulls or throw out one of those teams and you say you bring Mike Brown in because he has a championship pedigree, okay. We haven't gone anywhere in a long time. But when you went to the Eastern Conference Finals, you can't bring in a guy who was the assistant coach on a championship team and sell me he has a championship pedigree. No, there's a difference. So, it levels to this.
So Mike Brown has won how many titles?
He won a couple of them with Steve Kerr.
Four-time NBA champion as an assistant coach. He didn't win with LeBron in Cleveland, right? No.
No, they lost in the NBA Finals.
That's right.
To Steve Kerr.
And then he joined the ship there and won. He had a really nice year with Sacramento. What was that, 2023 maybe?
Yeah, they went to the NBA playoffs for the first time in like a gazillion years.
Yeah, and then they traded everyone away. And it's like, oh, well, we got to fire him now. They're not any good. I don't think he's a bad coach. It's just
I don't either.
I just think he's another guy. And if you have the right talent, you can win with him.
Like, is he a bad coach? If somebody says that to me, he's not a bad coach. That's a different conversation. I don't think Tom Thibodeau was a bad coach. But is he a coach to get you where you want to go? The answer is no to both, in my opinion, Jeremy.
Yeah.
It's just
Thibodeau got him to the postseason for the first time in the century, seems like. But he was not the guy. And, you know, I just feel they did it again. I just think they did it again. I do. Like,
well, and again, like I was looking at all of the team's moves. I think the Warriors are the only team that hasn't made a single move, period. And so, but you're looking at the Knicks, and I feel like this is a year where you're coming back relatively healthy. You got a new coach, so there's a new outlook. Like, shouldn't you be dabbling in certain things? There was talks of, are you going to trade Karl-Anthony Towns?
Mm-hmm.
I think some of the names that were out there, like the Miami Heat, maybe they still trade Andrew Wiggins, but I think they end up keeping what they have, their core, because Bam was a really attractive piece for a lot of teams. if they were going to move him. I didn't think they would, but it was interesting that his name got floated out there. I think the Eastern Conference is wide open. I might even venture to tell you that I think the best team on paper is the Orlando Magic. I think the Detroit Pistons are going to be one of the top four teams in the league.
They had two of the top superstars. Really? Two young superstars in the game, in my opinion.
Yeah. Milwaukee's got Giannis. And the
Magic just took care of theirs yesterday.
Yeah. Indiana made the run. Yeah, they paid Banchero.
Yeah.
But they also picked up that, he's another one of those muscle hamsters, Desmond Bane, where his biceps are bigger than his head. They pick him up, so you get another score to go along with your big two, so you almost make it a big three.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I'm stretching it for Desmond Bane. Right. He's a good player. But when you look at all the injuries, like the Celtics, Tatum is out. Jaylen Brown, there were talks to trade him. They got rid of Kristaps Porzingis. They're still going to have a good team, and they'll be able to make a run. But I don't know that they're going to be the best team in the Eastern Conference. The Cavs are the ones that could come back and do the same thing. But are they going to do something stupid and trade for LeBron and end up having to get rid of three of their starters to go get him? I don't think they will, right. But LeBron's been working out of their facility all weekend.
Hmm.
Did you know that? He was in Cleveland working out there.
Mm-mm. Really?
Yeah. So
LeBron does things like that. He sends you
messages.
You know what I mean?
I heard the Lakers didn't want him. He doesn't want them. Like, what's going on with this?
Well, it's just a matter of
new
like,
ownership in L.A., though, man. I mean, people are overlooking that. That's the new ownership group. They may like, oh, we don't want that.
Hey, look, that's one of the biggest stars we've ever seen in this sport in LeBron James.
However.
But we're talking about the back end of his career. Do you want to be on that road to saying, hey, this is our tour to say goodbye to everyone, and you're doing that every single week? Or every single night, I guess, once you finally play other teams on the road and they're honoring you, because that's going to happen with LeBron. Yeah. He's one of the greatest players of all time. Or do you want to focus on Luka and say, hey, look, we got a young superstar. Let's build around him. Let's get him what he wants. They go out and get EAndre Ayton, because he doesn't play D. But he's going to score a ton because he's got Luka with. Luka makes average players look like all-stars.
On top of that, if you are LeBron and the NBA, don't you want that farewell tour to come with Cleveland and not with L.A.? You want to bookend it. You do. You want. It's a better story to go back home and do that farewell tour. Now, I'm not saying, listen, guys, I'm not saying that helps Cleveland out. Because I think LeBron James at this point of his career has become a distraction. I do. And I think a farewell tour would be a huge distraction. And if LeBron James wants out of L.A. that badly, you know what that tells me about LeBron James? He doesn't know how to be Robin.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knows Batman is in town now. So that's what that tells me. Not saying he'll be Batman in Cleveland, but at least in Cleveland he'll have that ultimate farewell tour at home. I think that's actually a pretty good move for him. Again, not saying it's a good move for Cleveland. Because if Cleveland's trying to win the East.
Well, because they have to get under that other apron, which means you'd lose
significance.
Yeah, you'd lose Darius Garland, Jared Allen, and there's another like swing position player, Max Strus.
And then LA, all of a sudden, the Lakers now all of a sudden will be players.
Yeah.
Because you'll have guys with Luka who know their roles.
If they end up trading those pieces for him, I'm just saying they would have to do something. They may not. I don't know what you get back for LeBron. For the farewell tour, and he's not a bad, he's still a really, really good player.
Well, think about this. If you have to unload those salaries, wouldn't it make sense for you to trade at least one or two of those pieces to get them?
I think so.
Want to get them, yeah.
But you don't want to trade Jared Allen for LeBron
saying
right
I'm
now.
Not saying it's valuable. If you want LeBron, you got to get rid of those guys anyway.
I just don't think, I think that's the pipe dream. Everybody, because he was in Cleveland, he's from there, everybody thinks he's going back. I just don't see it. And I'd hate to, maybe it is something where, look, I said the Warriors haven't made any moves. He's always talked about how he wanted to play next to Steph. Maybe there's something there in Golden State. Maybe we're all just talking about nothing, and he ends up playing on the Lakers, and here we are with all
this
speculation.
Well, maybe LeBron is like the NFL, knows how to get you to talk about him all year long.
All the time.
He's brilliant at that. You can't deny his marketing ability. He's on top of that game. 410-583-1057 is the number. I don't say that to besmirch him. I respect it. It's about business. Matt Wyrick will join us at 9 o'clock to talk some Orioles baseball, but on the other side, Ed Norris, it's Commissioner's Baltimore.
Yeah, I want to have a discussion with you guys. Like, what would it mean if the wealthiest city in the wealthiest country in the world elected a socialist mayor?
Commissioner's Baltimore up next on The Fan. It's Commissioner's Baltimore with Edward Norris. What's going on, man?
Well, something that a lot of people know is going on. is there was a Democratic primary in New York City for mayor. The incumbent, Eric Adams, is running as independent. So Zoran Mamdani, he is the Democratic candidate for New York City now. And New York City, like Baltimore, they don't elect Republicans. Democrats always get elected. The only exception was Rudy Giuliani because New York was bleeding to death at the time. So, you know, Mamdani, he's a self-admitted socialist. He believes in, you know, distributing wealth better. He said things like, he has a proposal, he stands by it, to tax, quote, richer and whiter neighborhoods, arguing that his property tax system's unfair. He doesn't believe there should be any billionaires. Any. He says they should be eliminated. They shouldn't have, nobody should have $1 billion.
I like that, unless I had a billion.
Right. Yes. So there's a lot, you know, he called for, there's a lot of things I don't like about this guy. He called for defunding of the police. Yeah. I heard on one of his talk stations on TV, he called for the elimination of Israel, which I can't believe people in New York City would vote for him if that were the case. It's kind of amazing. He did not get the black vote, though. So he just, you know, I just wonder if his message is really what you think it would be, because it would benefit a lot of poor New Yorkers, in minority communities. But he has a quote, which it's really stark. He said, quote, "The wealthiest city in the wealthiest country in the history of the world, and yet one in four New Yorkers are living in poverty." That's clearly wrong. I don't mean he's wrong in his facts. I mean, that shouldn't happen. With such a disproportionate wealth gap now.
Oh, okay, I got you now. I thought you were saying that's clear.
I don't know if that's correct or not. But if that's the case,
then that's wrong.
That's really wrong. I mean, that should not be the case in the, you know, say, the wealthiest city in the wealthiest country in the world, in the history of the world. You shouldn't have 25% of your population living in poverty. That's outrageous. He said that he would condemn, well, you know, he talked
that
about
good, infantata. Huh?
Yeah, this is kind of wild. Like, he just, you know, when he said globalize the infantata, he meant a desperate desire for equality, equal rights, and standing up for Palestinian human rights. I think he's back walking that back, whatever you want to say. He accused Israel of genocide. I just don't know what that means for the country. Like, if the biggest city in the country, the wealthiest city, it's the financial capital of the planet. Of the planet.
Yeah.
Like, you have a socialist mayor who doesn't believe in the people who are making all the money on Wall Street should have it or keep it. And I'm not saying I disagree with these premises either. I think the tax system's incredibly unfair. I mean, a flat tax would solve your problems. It'd probably, you know, increase the coffers tremendously. You wouldn't have to have an IRS. You could eliminate that from your budget. You wouldn't have to have, you know, sweat every time you file your taxes. You don't know if you're going to get a $500 refund or a $50,000 tax bill because of what the rules are that year. I just don't know what to think anymore. He wants to hike property taxes, but, you know, impose it on white neighborhoods. I don't know what makes them think, well, the white neighborhoods are wealthy, because they're not.
What scares me is we have so many different political views and political angles, and I don't think in my 54 years of living that I've ever seen us as a country going in so many different directions, man. And I'm not, and this is not me claiming either side. It's just that we're when you're headed as a country in so many different directions, that's not even being divided.
No.
Divided is Democrat, Republican. That's the division. But there's so many different facets and wings of those. I just feel like other countries right now are sitting back with their feet up, eating popcorn.
I agree.
just eating the popcorn right now, man. I'm just here for the comments. I almost feel like that's where we are right now as a society. Here's yet someone else, another politician, with another brilliant idea on how to fix our economy and everything else. And
what's really interesting is that he didn't squeak by. This was a stunning victory, by the way. And he didn't squeak by.
He's a Democrat.
Democrat.
Okay. What did they run for mayor?
What do you mean?
I mean, is he the mayor?
No, the election is in the fall.
In the fall, okay.
But basically, if you're the Democratic nominee, it's like Baltimore. When was the last time you had a Republican mayor in Baltimore? The 50s, I think. So he's probably going to, unless Adams runs a great campaign as an independent. But I think a lot of New Yorkers just see D and they pull the lever. And it's
that's what Jeremy does.
See the D and pull it? Does it start up? Is it a push or a pull?
Do you know this guy won by 12 points? That's an enormous margin of victory.
In New York?
Anywhere.
Or anywhere, okay.
Anyway, 12 points in elections, enormous. I mean, look at our presidential elections. They're decided by I think he got it.
Who was I talking to? And I was like,
Al Gore with his hanging chads and all that.
I think somebody was talking about riding a bull or something. And I said, what's good for that? And then they were like, oh, if you go 8 seconds. I said, 8 seconds is a long time? He's like, yeah. I said, can you tell my wife? Can you let her know, please? Because then all of a sudden, I'm in the green. Yeah. I rode a bull.
Now, you talk about not being a town with Republican mayors.
Mm-hmm.
1967.
Yeah.
That's the last time Baltimore has had a Republican mayor. 1967. Ow. Joe says Theodore McKeldin.
Oh. Yeah.
Was the last Republican mayor.
Damn. That's 60 years ago. Wow. Damn. Yeah. That's what I mean. And New York's probably the same. Giuliani was the outlier. Probably if you looked past that, John Lindsay in the 60s.
By the way, this part of the music bit is the best to me. I love this part.
I love this part. Yeah, me too. Yeah.
It's reflective. 410-583-1057 is the number. By the way, Ed, before we let you out of this, do you think this guy, if elected, which he probably will get elected, can fix New York? Because I go to New York a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to feel a change in New York. It's not the New York that I fell in love with 15 years ago. So can he fix New York?
No, I think it's going to get worse, honestly. Because one of the problems is, I didn't mention this, if he does what he says he's going to do and start really impacting the wealthiest New Yorkers, and there's a lot of them, what people don't know is millionaires in New York pay over 40% of the tax. 40%. So you got a minority of the people paying basically nearly half of the tax in the city. So that could be a real problem if they decide to move out and spend their money elsewhere. Then I don't know what happens to the city.
You know what I noticed the last time I went for the first time? I noticed this and talked about the homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed more homeless people.
Definitely. Yeah.
I'm walking down the street and with those little construction
scaffolding
that they have, there are a lot more homeless people underneath them now. And when I first start going, I think I probably go to New York more than you do now.
You do. Yeah.
And I've noticed more and more, I'm like, man, this is bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it hit me the last time I was like, this is bad.
Yeah.
It's changed me. I only date homeless women now because you can drop them off anywhere you want.
That's true.
That's the benefit.
Yeah.
How long can we drop you off anywhere we want?
He just saves these, and so it's relevant conversation.
How do they Uber?
Yeah, I don't think I said a word until.
Let's go to Perry Hall to get Frank. What's up, Frank?
I'm spitting dust in my microphone here.
I didn't think they could actually find a candidate to make Eric Adams actually look good.
They did.
Frank, real quick before you go on, do you think he was planted to get Eric Adams back in office?
I don't know, man. Stranger things have happened in New York, but this one, I'm gonna go down this rabbit hole. I think it's kind of fun.
Hey, let me tell you something. You think that doesn't happen? When I was a chief investigator for the city at one time, which was an internal affairs for every agency except the police. We took the comptroller down. She got a loan from a bank that she did not qualify for to fund her campaign. When we got to the bottom of it, do you know the bank gave her the loan knowing or praying that she was going to lose? They funded her campaign to lose so they would continue to do business with the city and she'd be in charge of the money.
Mm.
So you talk about strange things happening.
So she didn't win.
She did not win.
No. What happened to the bank?
They got in trouble. She got in trouble. Yeah.
So they, like me in Philly, I got caught.
You got caught, yes. Yeah.
I got.
Matt Weirich joins us to talk Orioles at 9 o'clock. But on the other side, CBSSports.com's Dane Perry believes there are pros and cons to the O's trading one of their young stars. We'll let you weigh in up next on The Fan.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
That was just a rough conversation. Jeez.
I don't know what the hell you said.
I didn't even know what I was saying. I was being looked at like an idiot, and I'm like, what's new? But I know what I was saying was factually correct.
With Spider, huh? Yeah. Dane Perry asked, should the Orioles trade Adley Rutschman? And he gives pros and cons to this blockbuster deal. Here's some of the pros. The case for trading him, he has multiple years of control remaining. While contenders don't want to get for, a lot of contenders don't have bringing catchers midway through the year because you want to have some kind of rapport with your starting rotation or your pitchers in general. But in this case, Adley Rutschman is, he's not a free agent until after the 2027 season. Sam Basayo, bat is ready, and it has in parentheses, and then some. So if you trade Adley, then Sam Basayo's bat is ready right now. And this trade deadline may be light on star power. So Adley Rutschman's star power or his trade value may be higher because there aren't a lot of stars in this. Now, the case is for not trading him. Rutschman's on-field value is at an all-time low. So, Jeremy, while the star power might be low, he may be one of the reasons that the star power is low.
Yeah. I don't know that it matters as much for somebody like Adley, who I think is widely regarded as one of the better catchers, no matter what Baltimore fans think, because of how many years he has left on that deal.
Basayo's glove may not be ready. His bat is ready, but his glove might not be ready, so Baltimore may not want to do that. And these are pretty much only the cases for both. See, like, let me go back to the first one, Jeremy. Mm-hmm. His on-field value might be low. So that's saying the Orioles may not get the best return for it because of that. They said the Orioles may not have the same behind the plate because Basayo's glove might not be ready. And finally, the American League wildcard race figures to be an inviting one. Why would you want to let go of a guy who could get you in that race when you may get someone who can get you out of that race? Ed, your thoughts, pros and cons on trading Adley Rutschman?
The pros, obviously, if he comes back to some of the form he has shown in the past, you can get a whole lot for a young catcher. They're saying, he's only 27. Yeah, he's 27. He's not 37. He's under control. You know, for two more years. He's a catcher, which is, you know, like the most important position on the field. I think those are the pros. For me, the con is, I know Sam Basayo was lighting it up in the minors. It's not the majors. And
the gap between AAA and Major League
is enormous.
Is more now than ever before.
Yes. And that's what I'm really very afraid of. Like I hear about him too. I read about what he's doing down the minors and this and that. And he's younger than all his peers. He's not going to cover off the ball. He's not facing Major League pitching. He's facing AAA pitching.
And we see how different that is when these AAA guys come up to the majors.
Absolutely.
And start pitching.
So that, to me, that's the big con.
They get rocked. All right, Jeremy. Give me a Jeremy Con pro.
A pro for trading Adley Rutschman is I think you can get a lion's share back for him. Mm-hmm. you know, like I think we've undervalued a switch hitting catcher because he really hasn't performed the way that everyone had hoped.
Dude, I think you can get a king's ransom for Adley Rutschman. If you think what he's doing on the field right now is going to stop you from getting what you're going to get, you're going to get what you're going to get for Adley Rutschman, regardless of what he's doing right now.
Can I say this, though? I don't want to trade him.
Give me a Jeremy Kahn.
A negative? Kahn.
Jeremy Kahn.
A Kahn is, I think, you're trading one of the best catchers in baseball, and you have the ability with Sam Basayo coming up to platoon those guys, play one at first. There's a lot of chances here, and I think you've got a guy that's great behind the plate. I think he's solid defensively. There's some aspects of his game. I think Basayo's better at throwing runners out. But again, having a switch hitter that plays behind the plate, I'm not saying, look, Cal Raleigh burst onto the scene. I don't know that anybody expected this, but switch hitting catcher, you have the platoon advantage all the time at the top of the lineup if he's hitting up there. And I just think there's a huge boost, a huge benefit to having that guy. And no, I don't want to get rid of him. You'd get a lion's share because everybody else knows he's really good, even though our fan base thinks he's not.
If you trade Adley Rutschman, I have no positive out of that. None. I don't see it. Adley Rutschman's the guy that you sign long-term. Seriously. He's the guy that you sign long-term. Haven't you seen already the difference that he makes in that lineup? His presence. That's what he is. He's a presence guy.
He is.
Even when he's not hitting, his presence means something. I see nothing that's profitable and advantageous about trading Adley Rutschman. Well, look at all that you'll get back. What Ed just said. Those guys that you get back, you want to become Adley Rutschman. You already have them. Sam Basayo, if his bat is as good as it is, and you have a problem with who's going to catch Adley Rutschman or Sam Basayo, you know what you have? You have first world problems.
Yeah.
And you figure out a way to use them. You know what I got to do? Tomorrow when I wake up, I got to figure out a way to use Adley Rutschman and Sam Basayo. Right. What to do.
No, I mean, the problem that you're going to have is I think one of these guys should be DHing unless one's playing first and one's behind.
Absolutely.
Now it could be
Basayo. Yeah. But my point is there's a way to do it.
No,
there's this ain't no problems, man. Problems is not having Rutschman and Basayo. Those are problems.
The only thing I'm saying is, like, if you looked at Ryan O'Hearn, and we've talked about it, he's had a great season. He struggled the last month. I mean, he's hitting above 200. But when you look at that, like, again, I think I'm not trying to dismiss Ryan O'Hearn. He's had a great season. I'd love to see him stay here. But the fact of the matter is, when you start making movements and improvements, you're going to move Sam Basayo and Adley Rutschman to that DH spot unless you find somebody else that fits that narrative and you can play those guys in the field. Because if one of them's a DH, one's playing behind the plate, then all of a sudden you look at it and go, okay, who are we getting at first base? Is Kobe our guy? Or are we going out and making a move for a bigger first baseman? You know, like, the interesting part is you have all these young pieces, and I heard somebody bashing the farm system. I was like, I was told how good this farm system is. They're all here.
It was good.
What are you talking about? And it's still a good farm system. It's just not the best in baseball.
I was told how good the farm system was. Hey, Holmes, at second base?
Farm system.
At short?
Farm system.
At third?
Farm
catcher.
System.
At left?
First, farm system. Yeah. By the plate, farm system. Left field, farm system. Center, farm system. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, farm system's pretty good, man.
Eventually, those crops grow, and then you eat them. Well, hold on. Maybe that's not a...
Oh, my God. Let's go to Rosedale and get Antonio. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you, man?
I'm good. Happy Taco Tuesday.
Same to you, man.
Same, man.
O'Hearn, Mullins, Eflin, Sagano. Will any of them still be with the Orioles after the trade deadline? And you guys have a wonderful day.
You have a wonderful day as well. Your thoughts, guys?
Oh, man. I want to see Eflin come back and look like the pitcher he was. I don't know about what we get, if anything, from Grayson. And I think we see Bradish later in the year. When you're looking at the way the rotation is now, if the team's scuffling, are you looking at moving a Morton or even a Rogers at that point? Or are you holding? Because the one thing I look at this team is if they fall out of it, let's say they just fall flat on their face this week and they have a 1-6 or an, what is it? Is it a six games? Like a 1-5 or an 0-6. And it's like, okay, they know where they're at and they're selling. How far do they go selling? Because it's interesting to hear Adley's name being brought up now because Batista's name was the first one brought up that you can get the most for. And then now this story comes out. And I think this is just speculation. I don't think anything's happening. But with Batista, it made sense because of how much you can get for a closer at the trade deadline, and I still don't want to trade him.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't want to trade him either.
I mean, there comes a point where you actually have to like the guys you have instead of moving and saying, hey, we can get younger and cheaper with this. We don't have to do that anymore. We shouldn't have to do it anymore.
Is Tony Mancino the manager for the Baltimore Orioles after 2025? We'll talk about that at 9:15. But on the other side, Orioles baseball with Matt Wyrick up next on The Fan.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
I'm Emma Grade, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.